Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it works in giving you a boner. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness, aside from me reading this. It's made in the U.S. of A., America. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. You can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR, A-R-M-C-H-A-I-R, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring this train wreck of a podcast.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saint sincerity and stupidity.
How many RPMs would it take for the Juliocopter to actually fly away, and how many fumbles would happen as a result?
Well, that's a trick question, because you can only fumble once.
If you're not having fun when your team is 11-2, back-to-back division titles for the first time in 50 years, then you need to stop watching.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, let's start the show in style.
Spot the holder down, the kick is up.
Magical. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's a Tuesday. The Saints are 1-0 and in first place. And yesterday nearly fucking killed me. Dave, you were in attendance. That stadium was loud. People were into it. It was amazing. And I don't even know where to begin. Where to start? What was your reaction? Because me and Andrew talked about it on the show this morning. Recap. What was your immediate reaction to it?
I've got a lot of thoughts. I
want to thank the defense, because the defense was so terrible that they allowed the Saints to win. If they had been just 10% less terrible, I don't think the Saints would win. Like, they had to be the perfect amount of horrible at the end of that game to give the Saints a chance to win.
Well, and obviously you couldn't have been surprised. I mean, just before we even get into all that, because I want to get into all that, but before we get into that, you know, you mentioned the crowd. I thought from at the start of the game, the crowd was crazy loud, and I really was thinking to myself, you know what? It feels like we're picking up right where we left off last year, or earlier this year, technically, picking up right where we left off at the NFC Championship game. Now, it wasn't people yelling, you know, from, you know, immediately following the play for every down, but I mean, they were loud on the first series when the Saints were on defense. They were loud on third down, but obviously things calmed down once the game got underway and the Saints started losing and kind of took the crowd out of it. I'll also say there were a lot of Houston fans. And I mean, I'm not surprised because Houston's only a 5-hour drive, you know, a good excuse to come to New Orleans.
My flight was 50% full of Houston fans. Maybe,
I mean, there were a lot
on Monday afternoon.
I have seen the Saints play. I haven't actually fact checked this, but it's got to be true that I have seen the Saints play every single other NFL team in the Superdome. And by far, the Pittsburgh Steelers fans have traveled the best. But, I mean, man, the Texans fans, Houston's, they gave them Steelers fans a run for their money yesterday. You know, normally the fans are in like one. And what's really weird is that the Texans gave back some of their allotment of tickets. So obviously most of these people must be buying them on secondary markets like StubHub or SeatGeek, one of our sponsors or whatever. But I mean, normally they're in like one corner, you know, just like I was when I was at
sprinkled all throughout.
Yeah, they were the whole lower bowl. They were all over much of the lower bowl. So I was really surprised.
They sing? I couldn't make it out. I think they were singing that
song.
Yeah,
they had some sort of
the stars are blue. What's that song?
You're
deep in the heart of Texas. That's the song.
You're out of all the people on this podcast, you're the one that lives in Texas, so you should know that song.
Yeah, deep in the heart of Texas.
Is that what they were singing? Yeah, I couldn't make it out either. I didn't know whether it was some like Houston.
Andrew, we have a little bit of break. We have this. We have breaking news. Ted Ginn got Aaron Colvin of the Texans cut. The Texans cut Aaron Colvin tonight. He was the one that gave up the pass to Ted Ginn at the end of the game. He's making $8 million from the Texans even though they cut him today. So Bill O'Brien must have been mad as hell at him. But Ted Ginn is a one-man recession, apparently.
Well, so let's talk about the end of the game. So, you know, I was surprised. I was, you know, Peyton did the right thing. When the Saints had the ball with under a minute left, you know, he did three running plays. He forced the Texans to use all three of his timeouts, of their timeouts. And I thought for sure, I'm not saying I don't disagree with running on the next play. And then obviously they let the clock run down and they called the timeout. But I was a little surprised because I thought that Peyton might have been a little more aggressive.
It was long, though, wasn't it, Andrew? It was like 3rd and 11.
It was long. But I was kind of surprised, and it makes me wonder if maybe, you know, he had the NFC Championship game in the back of his head because in that game he elected the pass and it didn't work out. So I kind of felt like he was a little more conservative than he normally was.
Yeah, maybe playing the odds a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's fine because you don't expect your defense to give up 75, 80 yards in two fucking
plays. Well, before you go there, there's just one thing I want to acknowledge because I don't think we'll ever remember this kick after everything else that transpired. But that 47-yard field goal that Lutz makes there, that is a huge kick. Because if he misses that, then the Texans are down three and...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
In great field position, and they absolutely can tie the game, if not win it.
Right.
And I just, I'm sure we'll talk about the 58-yarder plenty, and that's justifyingly so will kind of be what everyone remembers. But I just want to point out that 47-yarder, like, that, it took Stones for him to hit that, and that was a huge kick.
Can we talk about the kick for a second? And I didn't know this until my flight landed in New Orleans and I saw the gifts and stuff. Him and Morstead were celebrating as soon as it left his foot. Like, they were literally, him and Morstead, not high-fiving, but they were doing, like, some, like, choreographed thing where, like, it was still in the air, like 30 yards away. And Morstead on Twitter was like, when you know, you know. Which is pretty awesome.
I mean, I had a great view of it. I mean, I was right in the middle of the entire path from left to right. And, I mean, as soon as he kicked it, you could hear it. I mean, he definitely hit the shit out of it. It was definitely a louder thump than, like, a normal, you know, it was more of a thud. But when he kicked it, I mean, I knew immediately it was a very low trajectory, and I knew immediately that it had the distance just from where I'm sitting. I just can't tell whether it's straight or not. I have to look at the screen, but I knew it had the distance.
See, I don't even – for big kicks
– a couple of people have tweeted this, and I wholeheartedly agree. He could have made that from 60.
I don't look at the screen. I look at – I just – and I can't really see the ball because I'm at a weird angle like you. I just look at the crowd behind the goal, and as soon as he hit it, they were pumped. And I was like, I think it's gonna get there, like, you know, because the crowd will tell you, right? Like, if it's down the middle or whatever, or kind of iffy, the crowd will literally, like, and you can hear it from the end zone. So I was
convinced there was gonna be a flag. Like, everyone, I was watching with my dad and my son. My son stayed up, and they're both going apeshit, and my wife too. Like, they're all just celebrating. And I'm
like, where's the flag?
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, what's the catch here?
So I want to go back. So after they make that kick, I texted you guys. What did I tell you guys? After Lutz made the first kick to go ahead by 6, and I texted
you. Oh, you said, well, I said that I was close to, because I had picked 27-20. And at that point, it was 27-21. And so I was like, man, I called the score almost perfectly.
No. I said.
I thought you respond. I thought you were responding to that. And you were like, this is good. I thought you were saying that I, like, screwed the Saints.
No, as soon as Lutz kicked it, made it the lead 6, I said, we've seen this before.
We saw this exact thing versus Cleveland last year. The exact same play to score the touchdown. They even missed the kick, but the Texans got another crack at it. Like, it's literally the Cleveland game play for play.
Just the Cleveland game. There's been other games, too. I mean,
the Cleveland game had a similar
Raven sprinkled in, right, with the missed extra point.
Yeah. Ravens, too. But, I mean, I just thought of Cleveland because it's at home, and the play was almost identical that they scored on.
But I texted y'all and I was like, Texans are going to fucking score here. I know it. This is, I mean, and
negative.
I fucking
negativity creeping in.
Freaking unbelievable.
I mean, you just can't be surprised, but I mean, I'm just, and like, you know, like Peyton said, it's a good thing. And Peyton seemed in the press conference. I got the impression, the post game press conference, I got the impression he was really pissed about the defense and giving up that yardage.
How could he not be?
No, I know. But at the same time, he's seen this movie too. We're all in the same movie theater.
This is the fourth collapse of this defense late in the game in 2 years. You got the Minnesota disaster in 2017. You got Cleveland and Baltimore, and this one. Am I missing?
The Rams.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Rams. I don't. I don't necessarily count the Rams as a collapse, because Greg Zuerlein, like, that kick was a far kick, and it wasn't like the Rams went down in 15 seconds and scored. I mean, the ones that I'm talking about are Minnesota and this one in Cleveland are utter collapses.
And Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore is close to an utter collapse. But the Rams, I don't really put in the category. But if you wanted to, I'm not going to argue with you. But this is a problem. Like, the end of the game, like, it's a problem. And the thing is, Dave, I felt like in the game, Dennis Allen had no idea what he was doing. I feel like he was like, I'm going to try to cover with eight. That doesn't work. I'm going to try to blitz. That doesn't work. Like, he wasn't, and especially for long stretches, like, he didn't have a plan. He was just like calling a defense on Madden and just hoping that shit would work. Like,
I just think, like, if you're going to double, if you're going to give safety help and hope that Lattimore can hold up on his own against Hopkins, and Watson and Hopkins beat you, you so be it. You know, you live with that, because Watson and Hopkins are superstars. But, like, sending a safety on a blitz in that situation and basically P.J. Williams being one-on-one with Kenny Stills, P.J. Williams can't run with Kenny Stills. So, I know we're all mad at P.J. Williams and we want to hate on him for giving up that touchdown. But is that really – I mean, obviously he's in that position. You want him to make the play. But can we really blame P.J. Williams there? Or is that –
No, it's kind of like asking your – it's kind of like asking your dog to play the trumpet. Like, you know.
I don't exactly. I think that's a great analogy. I wouldn't expect him to make that play. I mean, no.
So, I mean
– I'm not – as far as the defense
– I mean, it'd be like telling Ralph – use your bad hand and you go in here and throw this Hail Mary.
Look, to put a bow on it, I'm not concerned about the defense. It's the first game of the season. The Dennis Allen's MO for the last couple of years has always been they start off real loose and they tighten up.
Wait. Juke in the chat room says, can we talk about Skook's debut on ESPN? Was ESPN showing tweets during the game?
Oh, probably.
And Skooks was up there. Was it a Saints tweet, or was it like a local school district meeting tweet? Because Skooks does a lot of that.
I'm sure it was Saints related. I'm not worried. I think that they're going to tighten up. That's what they've done.
No, it says he was on the screen. I think it was a live shot of him.
He looks like. I don't know what he looks like.
Yeah, how do you know what Skooks looks like?
He's a kid.
I think I was – somebody texted the person behind me. I think I was on the broadcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I usually make it.
I didn't see you.
So, I mean, before we get to the good and the fun, the defense, the run defense was awful, but, Andrew – they had UDFAs playing, that can get better.
One of them's already been released.
But if Sheldon Rankins either can't get back or gets back and he's like 75% of what he was last year, how do you see the run defense being? Or is it, you know?
Well, I think there's huge strides to be made when you get Sheldon Rankins back, Mario Edwards, and David Onyemata. That's three defensive tackles that we're missing in this game. And so you look down the roster, and that's Mitchell Lowen, who is just released today to make room for Onyemata, who's back from suspension. But, you know, that's one guy back, and hopefully Mario Edwards and Rankins are not far behind. But, yeah, I mean, Lowen and Shy Tuttle, I mean, they both had moments. Tuttle had a half sack. Lowen lit up Watson on a cleanup tackle at one point. But, you know, those guys are UDFAs. And I think the Saints did what they could to kind of get through that first game, and I'm happy that they were able to win without three defensive tackles. But it's hard at that position.
I mean, you eventually reach the point where, like, you can say, well, the next man's up and you got to have depth and all that. There comes a point where, like, you just run out of guys. And it's, you know, it happened to the Saints at corner in 2014. Like, you're putting guys out there, and they're
and
just
you know what, Ralph?
Destroyed.
I think that number at defensive tackle might be three.
I would say it's probably two.
Like, when you lose three defensive tackles, you're probably hurt.
So the refs again were trash. Dave, are the Saints ever going to play a football game where the referees are not apologizing to us after the game?
No, at this point, it doesn't seem very likely, does it, Ralph? Does it?
It doesn't seem
very fucking likely that we're ever going to get a goddamn officiating crew that knows what the fuck they're doing and doesn't fuck shit up in favor of the opposing team.
Do the Saints have like a bat phone in the locker room that's just the NFL office to call them?
I love how the officials – like there was one official that was like, the Saints game this weekend is going to be the most difficult game to officiate, you know, and – I love that the crew that we get is one that doesn't even understand the rules. Like they've basically gone out there and said, this is going to be a really tough one because of what's transpired. And yet we get handed a crew that doesn't understand football. And I'm going to tell you something, like as much as the Rams thing was offensive, and as much as we'll never forget that, and that we'll remember that as the most egregious thing ever, and the whole offseason dominated the headlines was how we were going to address pass interference and challenging it, and a rule change because of what
yesterday
happened.
Yesterday
was a big deal.
Yesterday
was worse because as bad as pass interference is, at least and even though the refs were blind and dead wrong, at least that's a judgment call. This wasn't a judgment call. This was plain not knowing the rules.
It's like they gave the Texans a fifth down.
Correct.
I mean,
I don't even know if it's not knowing the rules. I think it's just. I think we're talking about an incorrect
application of the rule.
As far as where they should have made the 10-second runoff start from.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
When they went back to review the tape and they saw that Michael Thomas had gotten the first down, at that point, anything that transpired after that didn't happen.
Right.
And they have to go back to that point, which I believe was at 34 seconds, 33 seconds, whatever. And so if you do the 10-second runoff, which is a rule, the Saints at that point should have had 23 seconds, not 16. So they cost the Saints 7 seconds there, which is when you're kicking a 56-yarder at the gun at halftime, like 7 seconds could make it a 49-yarder. I mean,
I thought they cost them even more time than that.
It cost them more. And here's the thing. Like, it's not that hard. It wasn't that hard to apply. And Andrew mentioned it today on the Daily Podcast, which now you don't get for free. You got to pay $7 or $10 a month. It's totally worth it. Eight of you signed up for it today. Those are smart people. You should do it too. So you get the podcast every day and Andrew's grades. But Andrew, you were saying that like Drew Brees and Sean Payton were trying to explain it to them, but I guess they didn't do a good enough job of it.
Yeah, because you know what's funny is Sean Payton was mic'd for that game. And
on
the broadcast, they didn't show Sean Payton say anything until the fourth quarter when like the Saints made a play and he just goes, yes. And I just remember turning to my wife and saying, Mawath, and saying that.
Mawath.
Yeah. You mean this?
I'm sorry. My wife.
I was waiting for you to hit that. Yeah, you're really slow on that. But I remember turning to her and saying, like, does this. Really, he's been Mike the whole game, and all we get is yes. They waited four quarters to give us Sean Payton saying yes. But, and I wish I could have heard his discussion with the referees at that point because him and Drew Brees were talking to him. And I mean, I understood that right in the moment, like, hey, you got to go back to where Michael Thomas was tackled. And I assume that they explained the rule to the ref at that point. And I'm just really surprised that he was having none of it. I'm surprised they weren't able to convince him.
That's why you're never seeing that footage because a ref it will make a ref look horrible, and the NFL can't have it.
I think so too.
Like
I think
the NFL,
so too.
The NFL they can say, hey, we got it wrong, and we apologize, and we're sorry, and we sent the Saints a letter. But you can't see that video. It's like, you know, it's not – obviously, it's not in the same realm of importance. But it's the same sort of theory with domestic violence. If you read about a player that did, he hit this woman, he gave her a bloody, he broke her nose, he did this, he drug her, and you just read it, and you're like, oh, that's terrible. But if you see the video, you're like, oh my God, that is horrible. Like the Ray Rice situation. Now, it's not the same. Don't conflate it that it's the same. But it's the same sort of reaction where it just changes your opinion. And people, their opinions of the NFL refs will go down even further. And the NFL can't have it. You're never seeing that footage. I guarantee it. Never.
Yeah. Well, I it's can burned. Tell you.
It's like the spy tapes from the New England. Goodell burned the tapes.
I'm relieved that the Saints won this game because I think we can move on from not only the Rams. I think you remember how just with the Rams, the hardest thing about it was it ended our season. And so you had to go a whole offseason sitting on that. That was our lasting memory of how things ended. And to get back to this point, if the Saints would have lost that game the way that it transpired, I mean, to lose a heartbreaker like that, and then by one point with this dubious call at the end of half, which absolutely affected a couple 3 points in there. I just feel like that would have been, we would have been right back to the Rams thing. And I just think that would have been,
PTSD was kicking in.
Yeah. It would have been horrible. And so I honestly, like as excited as I am about the way it ended and the Saints winning and all that, like there's a little bit of relief that like, God, I'm glad we're not going through that this week.
Totally. And they just have the schedule's hard. We'll get to it as we preview the next set of games. And speaking of which, we will pick the game at the end of the show against the spread. But Dave, if you wanted to do reckless online gambling like I did this weekend and come out ahead and make money, where should you go to do that?
Well, if you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Hey, did you know you could bet on games after kickoff if you're a degenerate gambler? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. So join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code ARMCHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code ARMCHAIR. So visit MyBookie.ag today. That's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
And I'll add, if you sign up with a $50 deposit in the next 2 weeks, send the confirmation that you used the promo code, and we will send you a check for $20. Armchair Media will do that for you. So just send. I love how you just play it at like random, like it doesn't have any rhyme or reason. There's nothing that I can do to like trigger it or bring it along.
No, it really doesn't.
It's on its own. It's an iceberg in a cold.
You know what it's like. It's like Where's Waldo? You know, at some point in the podcast, the Pels Got Zion voicemail is going to get played. And you're just kind of looking through the podcast, listening, and at what point can you – ah, there it was, you know. It's like Where's Waldo?
So, Dave, we joke a lot about Loomis math and that the salary cap is just a social construct and the Saints can do whatever they want. Right, but
– I think that makes Loomis like a hippie.
It does, kind of. He's like a hippie with numbers. But here's the thing. They have to pay – they paid Thomas. They have to pay Kamara, Lattimore probably, and Ramchek erased J.J. Watt. So where is he now in the pecking order of we got to pay him? Because he went to a whole other level last night.
Do we know that J.J. Watt was playing well and that Ramchek was really playing the best?
You would know that
JJ
if you read
Watt,
Andrew's grades.
Well, I'm not a patron. I'm only on the podcast. Jesus Christ, I can't even get a free – even the guy on the podcast.
Yeah, you don't get access to that, Dave.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like PFT commenter on Pardon My Take always says, this is why you don't want to draft well. then this shit happens and you got to pay all these guys. If you didn't draft well, you wouldn't have to pay these people. So it's a problem, and the Saints really need to figure it out.
Here's a question. Does Ramczyk, what does he have to do, Andrew, to move ahead of Lattimore in the he's got to get paid pecking order?
You know, I wonder if he already has. Ooh. And I say that because, well, I just want to point back to a couple things. And I said this on the paid podcast today, and I've said this on the radio a couple times today. Anytime the Saints win, I get so many more radio requests. It's hilarious. You know, I think one thing that stands out to me, and we talked about how J.J. Watt, you know, he's played 150 games. He's never had a game where he didn't record a tackle or a QB hit, and he had neither. He's not on the stat sheet. He didn't have a single tackle. He didn't have a hit. He didn't have anything. He did draw one hold, so Ramczyk did get flagged once for holding, but Ramczyk was my offensive player of the game in my grades. And you know, I said to you before the game that it was a good sign if Watt was being moved around, because that meant they were trying to get him a different matchup, and that happened. And I also told you that I felt like this was kind of a reference game for Ramczyk, and he was going up against J.J. Watt, and it was a tremendous matchup for him. And, you know, to me, it was one of those things where it's like, hey, let's see how he does, and we're going to get some insight into – is he a Zach Streif?
Hey, Andrew, I have some right insight.
Play that man his money.
That's my insight.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so we have the question, like, is he a Zach Streif kind of right tackle? Nothing wrong with that. Great player, long career, beloved by Saints fans. Or is he a perennial Pro Bowler who down the road may have a chance at the Hall of Fame kind of player? And, you know, that may be a little extreme, but I think Ramczyk maybe got a little bit closer to that today and showed us the kind of ceiling that he has. And I really believe he's the best right tackle in the NFL right now.
I'm not just saying that because he's probably going to come on the podcast at some point, but Zach Streif he's getting really good at the radio play-by-play thing. Like he's really good at it. And if he wants it, he's going to be the Saints radio play-by-play guy for a really, really long time. Dave, do you
While we're on the subject of the O-line, I think we should also shout out Eric McCoy. I think he's been a wonderful surprise. Yeah. At center.
How much better was he than late stage Unger, Andrew?
Well, physically, I would say he was just stronger at the point of attack, especially in the run game. I thought he was good. Pass pro, there was a couple things that he needs to clean up. I thought the location of his snaps was hit or miss. I think a couple times there were some low snaps. I didn't love that. And because the Saints were spread five wide a lot of the game, they were out of the shotgun a ton in this game. And that's going to take some work and need some cleaning up, because you know, say what you will about Unger, but his snap location was always pretty spot on, even when he declined. So you don't want to fumble there, and that's a concern moving forward. That's something he just needs to tighten up. But in terms of his blocking, yeah, it was good. You know, so I picked Ramczyk as my player of the game. I noticed Pro Football Focus listed Larry Warford as their best player of the game, and he was also very good. But, you know, Andres Pete's been catching a lot of heat, and this is a contract year for him, and I thought he was phenomenal in this game as well. The Saints threw the ball 43 times, and they ran the ball 21 times, so it's, you know, roughly 2-1. In fact, it's a little more than that, pass to run. So there wasn't a lot of balance, and despite the fact that the Saints were throwing that much, and sometimes they were going five wide out of the shotgun where there was no running back, there was no possibility of them running the ball. And despite this, Breeze was sacked one time and hit three times the whole game. Now, give Breeze credit for getting rid of the ball quickly, but I think we got an insight and we got a chance to see how good this offensive line can be when it's healthy. And that's damn good.
Dave, he mentioned the Saints running game. I know you were very sad about Mark Ingram doing well in Baltimore. But do you have a new boo? Because Latavius Murray had a 30-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it was pretty good. That was a nice little run he had. But he's got a long way to go before I anoint him the next Mark Ingram. But I actually would have liked to. I think I saw Jeff Duncan tweeted. I think Kamara had 20 touches and Murray had like 8 or 7 or something like that. And obviously, I mean, Kamara is going to be the going to have more touches. But I would have liked to. I'd like to see a little bit more Latavius Murray. I'd like to see if they can use him like they use Mark Ingram and give.
I did really enjoy that the broadcast was talking about how much the Saints missed Mark Ingram, and Murray ran the very next play 30 yards for a touchdown.
I saw that Booger said when they line up Taysom Hill at tight end, it takes the mystery away because he can either run a route or he can block. Like, I mean, I guess so, but like, what is a tight end like? What is a tight end? What else is a tight end gonna do? I don't know. But that's an interesting point. Like, is yesterday gonna be the trend? Both of you think of Kamara in the 20 to 20 touch range, and then everybody else, Murray at 8 to 10. Because you know, if Kamara does 20, that's almost. It's 320 touches, right, for the year.
I would like to see, you know, I don't know, it may go game by game. I mean, there may be certain games where Peyton, you know, says, you know what, this today we're going to favor Murray, we're going to go with him more. You know, obviously assuming usually at the beginning of the game they give everybody a few touches and they kind of figure out, you know, like Peyton says, we got to go with the hot hand. So, if there was ever a situation where early in a game, Latavius Murray looks like he's the hot hand, I want to see Peyton stick with that and keep feeding him, as opposed to going away from it, even when it, you know, even on a day or a night or whatever, when it seems like Murray might be the guy.
Yeah, it's just. The thing is, we gnashed our teeth though, but it was a big discussion point on receiver. Who's going to be another receiver behind Michael Thomas? Is it going to be Butler? Is it going to be Austin Carr? Is it going to, you know, all these different guys? And it ended up being 9,000-year-old Ted Ginn catching 7 balls for 100 yards. So where are you with the receivers behind Michael Thomas? Take Kamara out of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, I expected Jared Cook to maybe be a little bit more involved. So I was surprised.
And
yeah, I mean, he had a nice catch.
yeah, I bet you did, Ralph.
Yeah. Off to a slow start there, buddy, for $182.
I'll wait for Andrew to finish, but after this, I really want to hear how your week in fantasy football went with Jared Cook.
Not well.
Jared Cook and the $1 All-Stars. That's what they ought to call your team.
I have Jared Cook and the Hobos is what my team name is.
Oh, that's fucking perfect.
But continue, Andrew. We'll get to my fantasy.
Yeah. I was surprised not to see him. It was nice to see Traquan Smith make a couple plays. Nothing fancy, but it was weird. I mean, as much as the Saints threw the ball, it was really all Michael Thomas, Kamara, and Ted Ginn. It was really those three. I mean, Traquan made a couple catches. Keith Kirkwood played a handful of snaps, and he never saw the ball. Austin Carr was inactive, so... It's just funny to me that a lot of these receivers made the team and they're not really contributing yet. So we'll see if I think, you know, how this offense is. At some point, their number is going to get called and they will get a chance to contribute. And this time it was Traquan. He was kind of the one guy that got the touchdown and had another catch. And it was just great to see Breeze. I feel like we have to say this about Breeze because – I thought his interception was horrible. There's no two ways around that. I think a lot of us were talking just about arm strength. There's a lot of arm truther stuff going around after the first half. But he really responded. In the second half, I just thought...
They have a large segment of Twitter that don't understand the arm truther jokes. Like, I have like three or four people in my timeline right now yelling at me, and I'm just making jokes about Drew Brees going to Europe and getting goat's blood. And they're just like, did you see the play? You don't understand football. His base, his throwing base was off and this and that. And I'm like, you just don't get it, the joke. Another positive, Dave, was Trey Hendrickson. I'll let you talk about Trey Hendrickson being good, and Andrew, you can talk about Davenport being kind of terrible.
I can't talk about Trey Hendrickson being good because I wasn't like particularly focusing on Trey Hendrickson, or you know, I don't know. I was at the game. I wasn't watching it on TV.
I mean, I saw his sack that he beat Tunsil like a drum, and got one of his sacks. You know,
I can actually talk about Davenport, because what I will tell you, here's a little tale from the sideline since I sit right behind the bench. After Lutz hit that kick and everybody ran out in the field and celebrated, Davenport walked by himself into the locker room.
Hmm.
Wow.
Sulking with his head down.
Well, I mean, his play against Deshaun Watson on the first Texans touchdown, where I literally called it on Twitter. I was like, it's fourth down. Here comes the Deshaun Watson sweep. It's Bill O'Brien's.
You actually texted that to me before you tweeted it.
I texted it to you, and you really did call it. And I was like, it's the Texans. It's Bill O'Brien's go-to play on fourth and less than three. Like, he doesn't know anything else. And, like, if I can know it, the drunk cripple in section 641 of the Dome, why can't the Saints do it? And he runs. Marcus Davenport just blows containment, and Sean Watson, he ended up not walking in. He actually got injured on the play, but like, it was way too easy to pick up the fourth down, and I wanted to punch a wall.
He didn't look too injured on that drive with 50 seconds left.
He did not.
Tell you that.
But he did take a trip to the Tent of Sadness.
He did. Twice.
But yeah, is it time to raise the Marcus Davenport bust watch to a warning, Andrew?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's you know, when you go to the beach and it's like yellow flag, where it's like, yeah, you can swim in the ocean, but just be careful. Keep an eye on your kids. You know, it's not like it's not the red flag yet.
I would say, like, Jim Cantore isn't getting on the plane yet, but like, right, you called him and you've said, hey.
He's aware of a disturbance in the Atlantic, and he's keeping an eye on it. Mm-hmm. Something that could develop here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't want Jim Cantore coming to your town.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want Jim Cantore coming to your town. So, you know, besides the pass rush was good. Look, the Texans' offensive line is a mess. Six sacks, man. And at any time between 2012 and 2016, if the Saints had got six sacks in a game, we would be replaying and each one of them on this podcast like they were works of art. So
they had some missed opportunities too. There were on more than one
they
occasion.
They could have been a lot more, yeah.
Yeah, on more than one occasion, some of those guys went flying by the quarterback and missing the tackle.
Yeah, like Goff, that one that DeMario Davis whiffed. If they do that against Goff, like Goff isn't going to do the Olay move that Watson did. Goff is going to get crushed.
That DeMario Davis one, God, that.
This game felt very Greg Williams, though. I mean, there was binge blitzing going on. It was
because
a blitz.
I feel like Dennis Allen was reaching. Like, his plan wasn't working, and he was just reaching
at one point. I saw him go double corner blitz. Eli Apple and Lattimore both blitz. I saw him drop Davenport into. He was getting real exotic. I saw him drop Davenport to the middle of the field in coverage at one point. I saw him. I mean, DeMario Davis was blitzing constantly. PJ Williams got a sack. Anzalone got a sack. Von Bell was the one that hit Watson and destroyed him on that last touchdown pass. So there was a lot of blitzing going on from a lot of different parts of the field.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, are we concerned at corner behind Lattimore more than we were going into the year, because they all looked, they all had their moments of awful, and I don't think any of them got above a D plus from you in your grades.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day in coverage. I mean, sometimes you got to tip your cap to, I thought Watson was throwing the ball awesome. I thought he looked great. And, you know, I've long said that kind of the, he's not that young anymore, but the one quarterback that I always said that I would want if I was building a franchise is Russell Wilson. I said that, you know, 5 years ago when he was a little bit younger. And since then, like, I haven't really seen a ton of guys where I'm like, yeah, I like some things about some quarterbacks, don't love others. I mean, obviously Mahomes is ridiculous, but I don't know. Watson, to me, in that game looked kind of pretty close to having elite potential.
Here's a question for you, Andrew, or Dave. Is Anzalone, is his time, how much more can he play and not be good, and they bring in Kiko Alonso? How much more rope does he have? Hello?
Dave, unmute yourself.
No, I'm not. He said you or Dave, so I didn't know who the hell that was.
Dave was being nice and courteous, waiting. Because nothing is more fun than dead air.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if we had a producer,
we did.
We made more money.
Well, if more people would donate, maybe
there
we could hire one.
There you go. That's where I was going with that. Then somebody could edit that out. Or Ralph, you could just not be a lazy son of a bitch. No, I'm kidding.
What's editing? I don't even know what that is.
Editing? What is that? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know shit about Kiko Alonso, to be honest with you.
Neither do I. I know he's really good looking. But Andrew, okay, well, that's a question for you. Is how much rope does Anzalone have?
It's funny. Just hearing Dave belch just now, it reminds me of that one review we got on Apple that was just scathing. We got one star, and it was just this one guy that was highly offended about the belching on the podcast.
Oh, so that reminds me.
I hope that guy is listening right now.
I hope that. It doesn't matter. Give us
the good old days.
Go to Apple, subscribe, give us 5 stars, and then unsubscribe and subscribe again. We got to number 84 for North American football podcasts on Apple. And if you people would just go and subscribe and give us good reviews, we can get in the top 15.
We could get to 83, baby. We could get to 83.
We could get in the top 75. It can happen. It doesn't cost you anything. Just give us a 5-star review and say they're awesome. 5 seconds.
Sorry. So what was the question you had again?
Is Kiko Alonso?
Oh, Kiko Alonso. Yeah. How much rope? Alonso. How much rope does the Mario brother have? With his hair.
No rope necessary.
Yeah. No rope necessary. Just use his hair. You know, I think Anzalone's got a banged up shoulder, first of all, and that's kind of the issue. I just don't think they bring in Alonso to begin with unless they're kind of worried about what's going on with Anzalone, because this is something that he's dealt with in college, and then his first year he spent most of it on IR because of the shoulder, and again, it's a shoulder issue. So this keeps creeping up, and I think that's a big reason why. I mean, I think Craig Robertson being injured too, they just wanted to have a vet linebacker be a backup. But I think the Saints kind of made this move thinking, you know, we don't know that we can count on Anzalone all year. So right now I think it's less about he should be looking over his shoulder. I think it's his job as long as he's staying healthy and playing well. I think the Saints just want someone that's ready and capable to go if he can't. So I don't know that he should be worried about his job yet. Now, if this injury prevents him from playing at peak level, then I think a change could come pretty quickly.
Here's a Super Deform asks, how do you detune Nintendo music? Hey, man, the soundboard is the soundboard. But Tom Stewart asked a good question. What's wrong with Dennis Allen in games 1 and 2? I don't think defense was as bad this year opening week as it was last year. If you take out the Dolphins, which they're not even a pro football team at this point, but I didn't feel like the defenses were as bad this week one as they were last year. I mean, like, the Saints gave up a shit ton of points. They had like three or four others. I didn't feel like the defenses were that bad until Monday night. Did you guys feel that way, or did you just not watch any games Sunday? You just got shit faced drunk.
What was I doing? I don't remember what I did on.
I thought the quarterback play was really bad on Sunday. Generally.
Other than Lamar Jackson and yes. Dak Prescott.
Well, Lamar Jackson was playing the Dolphins. That doesn't count. You know how every year people are like, would Alabama beat the Browns? You know, would Clemson beat the Browns? And yeah, it's always like ridiculous and stupid. I actually think Alabama might be able to beat the Dolphins this year.
I don't know.
Because not only are they terrible, they really don't care.
Yeah, that is true. Like, I definitely think if you picked the best college football team of the last 10 years, whatever college team you wanted to pick, and you played them the year they were the best college team against this year's Dolphins team, I think they could beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins are horrific. The problem is they don't have anything more to liquidate in their roster, so they're of no interest to us.
But yeah, I mean, just to illustrate how bad the quarterback play was, you know, usually you've got a ton of guys posting huge numbers, especially early in the season when the weather's better. Of course, you had Dak and Lamar Jackson both had perfect ratings of 158.3. So they played lights out. But you know, after them, there was just a lot of quarterbacks that were – Aaron Rodgers wasn't very good. Matt Ryan was bad. Sam Darnold obviously didn't look very good. Garoppolo was just kind of so-so. Kyler Murray threw two picks. Cam Newton looked horrible. Kyler Murray threw one pick. I'm sorry. Cam Newton looked terrible. Jared Goff is the 31st ranked passer. He did not play well. Ben Roethlisberger is ranked 33. Trubisky is 35. And 36 is Jameis Winston. Baker Mayfield was bad. So I'm just saying, like, a lot of these guys, I mean, these are a lot of household names in there. But I was very surprised at how bad, in general, quarterback play was in week one.
So you look at what the Saints have, and it's Tampa last year ended up not meaning a damn thing, so you can't really jump to conclusions. But we talked about it on the Sunday podcast of the rest of the NFC South being potentially awful, and your stat of
Jameis. Wait. Where was the Office Space jump to conclusion soundbite?
I don't have that. I need that one.
Piece of shit.
There you go.
I have
that. Piece of shit.
But the Tampa and Carolina play each other, and Atlanta plays Philly. So
wait, who plays Philly?
Atlanta. They host Philly Sunday night. So
is that the same team that Matt Ryan is the quarterback for?
It is.
This can make it 28-3. Ryan knocks it through. Arthur Blank loving it. Up by 25.
So, there you go. But I just look at the South, man, and if the Saints can somehow, some way, get this Rams win, it would just be amazing. And also, too, when the Saints win, I have a better chance of one-upping Eric Paulson in the Monday morning interview, which is good. And, oh, by the way, if you saw it, I totally defeated Paulson because he wore a red tie on Monday, and I called him out on it repeatedly during the 5 minutes I was on, and I declare victory.
I looked for the video and I didn't see it.
WWL, their web team, they have like one of them left and like two of them are on vacation. They are like super short staffed this week and next. So
I don't, so we're not going to get to see it.
I don't think you may not. You may not. You may get to see next Monday, but it's effing.
No, just, but I want to. I want to see you tool on him for the tie. There's no video of this.
And there's video. They just didn't post it.
Oh,
I know. It's probably my of all my appearances, probably my best one ever. And I just it's not on the internet forevermore. They'll get me when Paulson humiliates me and cat mayhem happens in the background. They'll have that one online for sure. But the one where I'm victorious, they don't have it.
Of course.
Sounds like the NFL not posting the refs. One the Sean other, Payton conversation with the refs.
Totally. That's how it is. Dave, I'm going to play this, but it's kind of bad news in a sense of Deontay Harris. He wasn't a train wreck Monday, but he was pretty bad.
Well, what the fuck was he thinking catching that ball on the 3-yard line or whatever the fuck it was, or the 5-yard line? I mean, that's...
It was inside the 5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, come on now.
Michael Sizemore says terrible. We need the safety first, then teamwork line from Pineapple Express every time a quarterback or a wide receiver makes a business decision. That's a good one.
But I'm not ready. I'm not ready to, I'm not ready to give up on, because I'm sure in the next week or two, he's going to bust one. He's going to break one loose. He's getting a touchdown.
Yeah, if Sean Payton doesn't bench his ass first.
In fact, if we're doing predictions tonight, that's my prediction. Deontay Harris, punt return touchdown.
Well, let's get
magical.
Let's get to it, and we can start by reviewing the predictions from last week. Let's start out with the Survivor League has one less person in the Saints Happy Hour podcast league that's on this show. That would be me, because I believed in the Browns, and they did what the Browns do. They shit all over themselves and lost 43-13 at home to the Titans. Mel,
sometimes it really amazes me sometimes how stupid some people are. Like, it really does. Like, I can't believe that anybody in week one would bet on the Browns.
They're still the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, until they're like 11-1 or whatever, don't fucking talk to me about the fucking Browns. Jesus Christ. Idiots, all of you.
Super Deforms asked, when will WWL TV tweet a slur about Ralph? Because the WWL, the WWL 870 account
is going to take the low road one day. By
tweeted
week 12,
a slur power against Seth Dunlap. But Seth Dunlap is their own host. He works at their channel. And they're,
I know.
What is that?
I mean, that's so weird.
What did he say? What did he say?
Well, I mean, I won't repeat it, but Seth Dunlap is gay, and the WWL 870 AM account
was a homophobic slur.
Used a slur against him.
The F word.
You know, it would be one thing if it was just a rando account tweeting it.
I'm with you. Like, it was shocking to see that, because it's just like, there's no way that this account, like, there's no way that someone in that building is that stupid, right? And they have the keys to the car, like, they have controls to the social media account.
Here's the thing, though. As a person that has worked at multiple companies and run different social media, sometimes companies, you'd be surprised, they don't know who has access to what.
Well, you've already answered the question, because when you said that, you know, you have keys to some of the cars, I mean, that's a mistake right there, letting somebody trusting you.
That's true. That is true. But I'm just saying, like, they could, like, that account for WWL, they could have a dozen people have access to it. You don't know.
Right.
That's why they took 5 hours to release the statement. They probably have to, like, figure out who has access and fun. But it was wild. But if WWL wants to tweet slurs at me, there's nothing they can say to me that you people don't say to me on the podcast. Like, I mean, come on. But so I'm out of this. I'm out of the
Survivor.
I don't
know, but seriously though, like, shame on them. I see that, like, was horrible.
It's horrible.
I mean, I know we're joking about this, but that was so
bad. It's horrible. The tweet itself, and you mix in the incompetence of probably having a dozen people run the social media. It's mind blowing that it comes from their own account, and the people over there, they have some good people at WWL Radio. They're probably in like crisis management mode right about now. But the Survivor Pool, you two both made it through. You don't have to, Andrew. You won't give out your pick until the Friday gambling show, which you can listen to it live. For free, but you only get archive access to it later.
I don't know if you want to take my gambling advice after my showing on Friday.
I mean, one of us is fired.
Hey, guys, if you saw $100 on the street, would you pick it up? Of course you would.
Probably, yeah. I probably would.
We're gonna have the Todd Newberg. He's gonna be our guest. Patron picker. He's going to join us on Friday and give out his gambling advice. He is a full-on gambling degenerate. He will not mind me saying that. Me and him were DMing on Saturday. He was doing in-game betting on college football and was applauding my Rutgers pick of Iowa -20 versus Rutgers and Iowa covered. So he's a full-on degenerate. So join us for that on Friday.
Listen, if you pay and you're a patron, then you get to, first of all, you get to listen to that gambling show on Friday, but also the Todd Newberg is our first contestant. So you enter a pool to be selected to compete against us in this gambling pool. And if you beat both of us, you get to stay on every Friday until you lose. So good luck to you this Friday, Bodhisattva. You're going to need it.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring my A game.
Wheel of gambling. So as for the Saints game, Sunday, 3 o'clock. It's weird that the Saints don't play a noon game until October. But I'll start with you, Dave. Rams at Rams, 3-point favorite. All the extracurricular blown call baggage, anger, angst, fury goes into this game. Who you got?
Yeah. Oh, I'm Chargers, totally. I mean, the Rams, totally for sure. No, I'm kidding. I'm surprised that they're favored by the Rams are favored by 3. That's home field advantage, pretty much.
I thought it would be a little bit more, maybe. I don't know.
I'm actually. They
were basically saying it would be a pick 'em on a neutral field.
Yeah. I'm still.
Do the Rams actually get home field advantage the points though? Like, since they don't have fans.
That's why it's kind of surprising, because like they don't really have, you know, they don't have a crowd that like really, that certainly can't compare to Who Dat Nation. But anyway, I can't guarantee that there won't be any interference or from the referees or anything they may do that might alter the outcome of the game. But barring we can get through a game with just normal officiating, you know, I think I don't think that the Rams are the same team that they were last year. Gurley is questionable. He wasn't used that much. I mean, he had like 100. I mean, but he picked up all that yardage late in the game, and I don't know.
Gurley is questionable for this game?
No. I mean, just questionable. Oh. It's like, you know, he's not the same player he was 2 years ago.
He didn't even get goal line carries.
He didn't get the goal line carries.
Malcolm
He did pick up a bunch of yardage late in the game. I mean, it's not like he's a total deadbeat, but...
No, he looked pretty good. I just think the Rams are really, really managing his touches and not like in a... We promise we're going to do it, and then the game gets close and they don't do it. I really think like he's on some sort of pitch count early in the year.
He is. He definitely is. And so he's just not as scary as you know he used to be. But I mean, look, this is football, and it's all about motivation and how you play out on that field and what drives you. And nobody is going to be more motivated on Sunday in that stadium than the Saints are going to be. And a motivated Saints team that is really hungry and that really, really, really wants to win, they usually get what they want. So I just don't see the Saints losing this game. I know it's in LA, West Coast, time difference, but and Goff too. So far, you know, this past week, Goff didn't look incredible. I'm just not sold, and I'm not that impressed on the Chargers. And so I'm
going to go. Rams.
I mean, sorry, the Rams. It's like at the LA thing. I can't keep them straight. But anyway, Chargers are next week though, right?
Nope.
Oh, sorry, Seattle. Yeah, I knew we were going to the West Coast. So I'm going to say Saints. I think they're going to put up a bunch of points. I'm going to say Saints 38, and I'm going to say Rams 21. And I already said it, Deontay Harris. He's going to break
one. Yeah, punt return. Andrew, who you got?
It's funny. The last time I picked the Saints to lose, which was probably like week 9 of last year, I had like people come at me on Twitter like, how can you call yourself a Saints fan and pick against the Saints? I mean, I guess I could pick them to go 16-0 every year, but I feel like I picked them to go 11-5, so I got to pick them to lose some games this year. That doesn't mean I'm not a Saints fan and that I'm not rooting for them to win, people. It just means I'm being realistic that they can't win every single one. It doesn't make me a bad fan, but I feel like this is a tough one. I just don't feel like the defense is there yet. And I think the Rams at home are going to clean up some stuff offensively. So I think the Rams are going to come at them strong. I'm nervous about Brandon Cooks. I just feel like he has played pretty well against the Saints the last couple times. And, you know, with this whole PJ thing and not looking that good, and I don't know, it just makes me nervous. So I think it's going to be the opposite, actually. I think it's the Rams are going to put up a lot of points, and it's going to be like 38-21. And you know, the Saints will be close for a little while, like maybe down a couple scores, but like they'll get the ball back and there'll be hope. And then at some point there'll be a Kamara fumble or something, and they'll put us away. So, I think we knew the schedule was going to be hard, and this is why we said the Texans game was important to win. We know that we said, hey, if you can get 2-2 through these first four games – then you've set yourself up well for the rest of the season.
No, if they're 2-2, they've set me up to interview Les East, is what they've done. They cannot be 2-2.
That's true. But I think they dropped this one. I'm going to pick the Rams to win, but I will say the Saints player of the game will be, I think Michael Thomas seems to always do well against the Rams. I think he'll have a big one.
Well, I was all set to agree with you, Andrew, but here's the thing. Like, I picked the Saints 14-2. If I pick them to lose to the Rams, it basically means that I've already changed my mind about my 14-2 prediction. But I can't change it because that's what it is. So, Saints are winning. 34-24. The Saints are going to look amazing. I'm sure Antonio Brown is going to get cut because he got accused of raping a woman. Maybe the Patriots, they'll cut him loose. And the Saints will slide back up to being the Super Bowl favorite by the middle of next week. How about that?
It would be the Saintsiest thing ever if they were to crush the Rams, crush the Seahawks, come back, crush the Cowboys, be 4-0, we're on cloud 9, and then they lose to Tampa. That would be this.
Oh,
that would be very.
Jameis lights them up. That'd be almost like classic Peyton.
I'm kind of here for that. I'll be honest. Winning those first four games and then losing at home to Tampa, who's winless at the time. Like I'm kind of here for that.
I'm not. They got to go 14-2.
No, I mean, if you were offered that right now, you would take it.
Yeah, I probably would. Did y'all get Les East's phone number, by the way?
You better start thinking of nice things to say to him.
I know. I went to compliment a friend.com. and make a list.
Are you being serious?
Have you been to compliment an enemy yet?
No.
Is that really a website?
No, I don't know. Probably is.
I just made that up.
So, Jock says, yeah, right, the Patriots aren't cutting him. Yeah, that's my mistake. They literally have had murderers on their team. So, they're not cutting Antonio Brown. I'm so dumb. But this wraps up the big show. And like we said, look, seriously, rate us, review us. If we could get in the top 75 or 50 just one time, then me and Andrew can screenshot it and it can be our avatar for the Saints Happy Hour Twitter for like a week that we were that high. So
would you really want to deprive us of something like that?
Yeah, I mean, come on. This little ramshackle podcast with no network, marketing.
Oh, we have ads.
We have ads, but we don't have like marketing. We don't have a producer. We don't have we barely have passable audio 75% of the time. I mean, and for us to be in the top 50, it's like the little crippled drunk engine
that we only have 5 working hands between the three of us.
Oh. Well, no, Kevin, we have Kevin when Kevin shows up. So we have 7.
7. So. It's an odd number. That's all we need to know.
Yesterday was amazing. That's why you people love this sport. That's why we love the Saints. It was just tremendous. So it's been fun tonight. Thanks for all the 50 or so of you that were in the live stream. It may have been more than that. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's MIA, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.
1-0, baby. First place.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.